Hi, my name is Merle Lafferty. This is my pseudo daily podcast for NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, not endorsed by NaNoWriMo, just for people doing NaNoWriMo. NaNoWriMo is when you try to write 50,000 words in November. I do it every year. I fail every year. If you have been following this, it has been 2 days since I updated. Valerie Valdez is coming in a moment. 2 days since I updated. I had a quite terrible day 2 days ago, and then yesterday wasn't much better. Hi, Valerie.
Hey, Mer, how's it going? Keep going, though. Please do not let me interrupt.
Yes, keep up with your rant. Anyway, I did writing 2 days ago. I did a lot for a freelance job I have, and then I really wore myself out because I didn't really pace myself with the work I had to do. So I worked pretty much from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. with a couple of food breaks and, let the spouse see my face and all that. And I streamed that night, and I just wasn't happy with it at all. And I started to doubt the stream. I started to doubt wisdom, even me using it. I got pretty dark, and then yesterday, I have a sick relative again. I've mentioned I have a sick relative a couple of times, and unfortunately, they're still sick and in the hospital again. So, it's been a week, and yesterday was pretty much me recovering from all of this, seeing going to the hospital, and it's like day 11, and I've already broken my podcast streak. I've broken my writing streak. I'm in a pretty shitty mood. And, but I figured I would address this because this podcast is meant to address everything that goes on during NaNoWriMo. And Valerie, my good friend Valerie, is here to talk to me about being a municipal liaison and handling problems like this. I'm so glad you're here, Valerie, because this would have been a real downer had I not been able to get you on.
Well, I'm happy to be here to be the sunshine and light counterpoint to this situation, even though it, sunshine and light, sometimes you just want to like hole up in a closet and close the door and turn the light off. This is actually a really normal low point in the month, because for 10 days or so you've probably been churning out a lot of words. It can be very emotionally draining, and at this point a lot of people have essentially just run out of ideas. If you're a pantser, you're just tapped out. Your well is dry. There's no the field of your you know what's is fallow. And if you're a plotter, this is actually a prime time for you to start second guessing all of those choices that you made when you were doing your planning and your outlining and things like that. And so it's what you're going through on top of all of the life of stuff, which unfortunately it happens. This is actually a very normal part of this process, sadly.
Yeah, it just seems it feels a little bit coincidental that it's like this is not just me disliking my work. It's like a bunch of outside stuff. And
Oh,
this
yeah.
happened to me last year when there was already all the election stress, and then there was my agent quit, and so my month was again thrown into complete turmoil, and I'm not gonna let it beat me this time. It might continue to hit me, and it'll beat me in a couple of days, but not today. And this is the day I said that if you skip one day, you shouldn't skip two, which is pretty much the thing I've in studying habits and stuff. I've heard a lot of people say, look, it's gonna happen, but when it happens once, try not to let it happen again. Right
Yes.
next to it, because then you're building that habit of not doing something.
Yeah, and I think also what's really valuable, and this is something that DJ Older has talked about, that when you sit down to write, one of the first things that it can be useful to do is to forgive yourself. And you're forgiving
Wow.
yourself not just for these sort of past, I missed a day, I missed 2 days, those past imperfections, but also forgiving yourself for writing something that isn't perfect, because chances are very good that your first draft will not be. Forgiving yourself for not complying with whatever plan you had perfectly. And so just having that moment of sort of self-reflection and forgiveness lets you let go, hopefully, of all of that kind of emotional detritus. You're just you're clearing the scum off the top of the pool so you can dive back in.
That's a really, really nice thought. I really like that. Thank you. For anybody who doesn't know, I believe you're talking about Daniel Jose Alder.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay.
Author of Shadow Shaper and some excellent urban fantasy novels and, of course, a bunch of Star Wars books at this point, much like
yes.
you are.
Yes. New York Times bestseller. I remember when he became a New York Times bestseller and he just wanted to say it all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it,
as just, you should
shout out to him because he's, if you're not following him on social media, you should, because he gives a lot of good, commentary about the field and writing and stuff. But, the forgiving yourself is really interesting. I like it.
Yeah, because it is, like I said, this is a really difficult month. Just in general, you're taking on a really big challenge and knowing that you have sort of the room to be forgiven for not being perfect about it, I think is really helpful because it does let you, you know, get back on the horse when you fall off. So
yeah,
let's mix a lot of metaphors here, but.
And here's something I'm struggling with because, you know, I may be taking my laptop to the hospital to write in the next couple of days. And it's possible I will carry it there 2 days in a row, not write at all, and then feel really bad about myself. And I said earlier that you want to make a commitment to yourself, and that'll make other people take your commitment more seriously. But on the other hand, sometimes you have to go, all right, life has kicked me in the teeth, and I can prioritize because I'm a grown-up. Just finding the middle place there.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think that there is a sort of normal level of life intrusion that occurs during NaNoWriMo, especially right around now. Even if you've had a really supportive family and friends, after 10 days, you know, we're in day 11 now, they start losing patience. They're like, oh, you're still doing that thing, huh? And all the responsibilities that you have are piling up, and you know the disappearing into the cave act is maybe not as charming as it was when you first started doing it. But that's sort of the normal stuff, as opposed to sudden, unforeseen, much more dramatic life events.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, you at that point say, okay, listen, NaNoWriMo is really good and important, and I want to prioritize it. At the same time, there are other things that are more important than NaNoWriMo,
yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And I think right now we have a lot of places where you can get similar support to NaNoWriMo. You don't have that feeling of hundreds of thousands of people across the world are doing it with you.
Yes.
But, you know, excuse me. Yeah. excuse me. My podcast is sponsored by Scribophile.
Yeah.
Sorry, had to drink something.
No
podcast
worries.
Is sponsored by Scribophile. So I'll say that before I endorse them, but I was delighted when they contacted me to help to sponsor me, because it's the kind of place where you can build a writing network. You can find beta readers. You can post your stuff, have other people comment on it, workshop stuff. And I really was excited when they told me that they were existing. And so I think, you know, looking into if you hit a point right now and you think, well, yeah, I can write in December or January, but I won't have this like mega crowd energy. Well, that's a place you can go. And I feel kind of weird saying it in that segue, but I'm right. And they're a sponsor. So
yeah, no.
I'm not wrong. I wouldn't endorse them if I was, if I didn't really get excited about what they're offering. But Valerie, you're welcome to laugh at me again, because I still have not changed the 10-minute limit on guests. So
okay.
You got about
thankfully,
a minute 15
the app makes
left.
It very easy to join again, so it's not.
I know. I just wanted to apologize because I told you I would do that. But honestly, I feel awkward talking about this here, but I feel I should. I'm feeling a little disillusioned with the Wisdom app, that it's not quite what I need right now. Mm-hmm. To, you know, I was really excited by it. And it's like my community is telling me that they're not really enjoying some of the episodes where anybody comes on and mm-hmm. talks to me.
Right.
And I think they want more curated guests instead of just like a, I kind of see this like a radio call-in show, but I think they're seeing it as me inviting guests on my show, which should be vetted. Yeah. And so it's kind of different. Like, you are invited and love, absolutely love having you here. But times I haven't had you on, I've had other people drop in, and sometimes it's a fun conversation and sometimes it's strange and sometimes it's useful and on topic and sometimes it's not. So,
like radio.
Oh my God. Oh. Belle, are you coming back in? I just got an email. Valerie, you have to vamp because I just got an email from my editor that showing me cover art. So you have to vamp while I look this up because I have to look at this right now.
All right, here we go. Okay, so I'm here to drop a bunch of nano tips for y'all because, again, this is not week two, but the second part of nano. We call this the Great Swampy Middle. So I'm enjoying Mer's delight at this cover art. Yay.
Oh my God, it's so good. Never felt this way about a cover before.
Yes, that's the best.
Oh my God, this is gorgeous. I'm very sorry, guys, but I needed this today.
I'm sneaking into Mer's Discord now waiting for... No, you're not allowed to post it yet, are you? Okay, never mind.
I'm probably not, but the Discord's locked. Oh, wow. I'm very, very sorry, guys, but wow, I needed this, and it is gorgeous. Valerie, I'll show you. Yes. Shortly, but anyway, talk about NaNoWriMo. I'm just going to sit here and grin for a second.
The Great Swampy Middle. This is the middle portion of your book, in theory, if you're trying to write literally the entire book in the month. And also just the Great Swampy Middle of the month. And so this is really a very normal low point. Like I was saying earlier, you start second guessing everything that you've written so far. You start feeling like you have no more ideas. You have nothing left to give. And life starts kind of busting in and people are making demands of you that they had perhaps been putting off up until now out of respect for the massive undertaking that you have committed to. You may also start having new ideas. They call them plot bunnies in the nanosphere. But basically, it's you get distracted by something new that you are convinced is definitely much better than the thing that you're already writing. So these are all extremely normal parts of this process. And so I have a few tips that I will lay down for how to solve some of these problems potentially. And it's going to vary from person to person. But if you are the kind of person who is a plotter, you came into this with an outline and character bios and world building and all that stuff, go back to your outline and try to modify it if you need to. Just revisit it, refamiliarize yourself with it, reacquaint yourself with what you thought you wanted to do. And if it does need changing, just take a time today to change it. And that's fine. You're not married to it. It doesn't have to stay the same no matter what. And going back to it may help you have a clearer path ahead for the coming weeks. If you are a pantser or a gardener, as one might call it, where you prefer to just write by the seat of your pants, now is a good time to start stockpiling things like dares and prompts. The Nano forums have character adoption threads. I think they have location adoption threads. So you can literally just go in and find somebody else's character idea and just say, hey, I'm adopting this character and putting them in my book.
Seriously?
Yep.
That's a thing?
That's totally a thing.
I did not know that. That's really interesting.
Yeah. And there are also...
It feels like people are doing extra work. I mean, putting that on the Nano forums is work you could put into your own story.
Oh, absolutely. And at the same time, I feel like sometimes you do come up with an idea like that in a vacuum. Again, it's kind of a form of a plot bunny where you're like, you know what? I don't have any idea where to put this character. I may never use them. Maybe somebody else will. And by the time that you get around to potentially using that sudden character that you have invented for yourself, the other person who used it may have changed it enough, or it may just be an archetype. And so it's fine for you both to use the same thing. So
very cool. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, damn, yep. Valerie, this is awesome. Thank you.
And it can really help you. It helps you. I feel like, especially if you're a pantser, randomness is your friend. It absolutely works for plotters too, but it's really great to try to integrate something that is wholly unexpected to you, and your brain will sort of start to like grit an oyster, try to make a pearl around it. Try to make it make sense, basically. And in doing that, you may find yourself writing your way out of some sort of block that you were having. So it can be very useful.
Yeah, I do want to add something to this, because I think a lot of people, when they look at prompts, they think, I have to do what the prompt says.
No.
But really, it's meant to... Well, see, I do a little workshop with my Patreon supporters called the Kick in the Pants Workshop, where I just send a prompt. But I like to emphasize that if this reminds you of something else, like, or not remind you, but like triggers another idea in your head, write that.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you get excited about something, it doesn't matter where the idea formed. And if the idea helped you get there, then I did my job. So if you get an idea from a prompt and you're thinking, well, I got to write the prompt, not this really cool idea I got, go for it. You totally can.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not the Great British Baking Show. Whenever you get these sorts of prompts and outside input and whatnot, the idea is for it to be generative. The idea is for it to inspire you. And if it inspires you in a direction that is not exactly on brief, as one would say, for the explicit prompt that you've been given, it doesn't matter. No, you're not being scored on it. Paul Hollywood is not going to show up and tell you you are overbaked and underproofed and you have a soggy bottom.
Soggy bottom and cold ice blue stairs.
Yes. you don't have to worry about that. Other tip is to keep rewarding yourself, because I think that is also a thing that people may fall off the wagon on. That notion that every day that you write, you should give yourself a little treat. What is the line from Twin Peaks? It's every day. Give yourself a little present.
I go for every 100 words and M&Ms, but I bought the wrong kind of M&Ms, and so it's stupid to cling to that feather that Dumbo has to cling to. On the other hand, when it's here, it really helps. So I'm not gonna put it down too much. I lay out pretzel M&Ms, and I have one for every 100 words. So as the M&Ms start to go away, I know I'm getting closer.
Yeah, it feels like an accomplishment. It's anything that can motivate you like that. You know, people will use stickers and I use cookies or mochi, and, you know, just you need to figure out what works for you. And the fact that pretzel M&Ms work for you, it doesn't matter if it's entirely, you know, in your own head, it works. That's the most important part. And it's innocuous. Yeah. You're not harming anyone by eating pretzel M&Ms.
That's true.
You're not going out and like murdering someone every 100 words,
right,
which would be a little more questionable.
And it's not really bad for you, because, I mean, it's like 16.
Yeah.
So if you can control yourself, which is another question, but that's rewarding is good. And one thing I've been reading about lately is the psychology behind positive and negative rewards. It doesn't quite work the way we want it to.
Right.
It's like the positive rewards, it'll sometimes make us think more about the reward than the work we have to do to get it. Mm. Or it's too nebulous because it's still in the future and a lot of work away. But people have said that little bitty rewards that you think wouldn't matter at all, like you said, stickers or a tiny piece of candy or something, can be motivating, because you can see the stickers start to mount up and the candy goes away and you get to eat it and it's candy.
So
that's like maybe focusing on smaller rewards that are easier to get. That's the other thing. You don't have to like write 50,000 words and then get your reward. You get a reward after 100. That's pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. You're doling it out in little increments. It's the equivalent of winning at the slot machine in Vegas, where it's like, you're just one at a time, little bit, little bit by little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will add one more random tip here.
Please.
Which is, because this is another thing that tends to happen around now where you have a sudden new direction that you want to take the story in or a new idea you want to integrate. And you're like, oh, no, but then I have to go back and revise. No. There is no revising during the NaNoWriMo. But what you can do instead is you can just mark the point past which you are writing as if the new thing already happened and just write like you changed it. Write as if the previous stuff already includes the edits that you need to make.
Yes.
And just write forward using the new direction, whatever the new thing is, whatever the new information is, and you can edit later.
Yeah, and just make a note for yourself. Make a note in a notebook, or if you use Scrivener, which I also endorse and does not sponsor me, I love it that much that I will endorse it, that you can. There are places where you can just make notes in the sidelines saying, I'm changing this to this. I've been actually questioning the point of view in my book, so, you know, I may move to first and see what happens.
Yeah.
But we're at 30 seconds. Valerie, do you want to do another 10 minute or should we sign off?
We don't have to do the whole 10. So I'll come back and then we can either talk a little bit more or sign off and we'll see what happens. Because, yeah, I have an exercise if people want to do it. But otherwise, we can just keep chatting about Nano and how it's hard.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, so I'm absolutely in love with this. I'm just going to go on about the cover while you get back in here. I can't say anything about it, but it's gorgeous and it's different and it says space without, you know, giant spaceship and stuff. So it's really different, but in a gorgeous way. I'm so excited.
Yay. That's always the best because I feel like we get so many kind of horror stories about cover art that, you know, the writer is like, oh no, this is the worst. Ay, ay, ay. And then, so every time that it's a really good, positive experience, it's
yeah. Nice. And you know, I try not to talk about this too much, but as we get, every year passes, we get a little further away from it. And I'm not with that publisher anymore, but I did not like my cover for 6 weeks, but I don't like talking about it too much because everybody else does. I just don't. And so I've moved on to the fact that clearly it worked. Marketing did their job. It attracted people. They picked it up. They bought the book. So in accepting that I am not a graphic designer and I don't know book covers as well as a graphic designer does, then, you know, I accept the cover. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of the book. But I still don't like it. I don't like looking at it.
It sort of doesn't make sense. Just... I don't know.
Oh, and it's great. Here's a funny anecdote. If you don't know, my last novel is about a generation starship that is run by clones where they upload their memories. And then when their body dies, they just get a new body and keep going. And the concept is they all wake up and all wake up at the same time. All of them dying at the same time is very rare or cataclysmic. And yes, something cataclysmic has happened and they have to solve their own murders. So that's the concept of it. And they came up with the cover of the guy floating through space. And then, you know, my husband's reading and he's like, if they're in a generation starship, they're going to want to save every bit. They're going to want to recycle everything because they can't just stop and get more stuff. And so I'm like, oh, right. So I'll just hand wave a recycler that takes, you know, biomass and does unspeakable things to it. And it comes back into the ship. And then the art department's like, but you're not spacing anybody. But the cover implies you're spacing someone. I'm like, I'm trying to make it a little more realistic to the terms of a generation spaceship. And I'm sorry I didn't throw a body out of the ship. But yeah.
Even just the notion of yeeting a body into space, that's like just... that is a Sir Isaac Newton problem. Like that is somebody's future icy projectile. It seems like actually a very poor idea when you think about it. Just throwing stuff into space that will eventually somewhere somehow either I guess burn up in atmosphere and make a really nice shooting star.
Shooting star, yeah.
Or ram into a spaceship and maybe cause problems? I don't know.
Well, there you go. You write the story about the spaceship that's hit by the floating body. There's another murders solve. I gotta write that down.
Just sucky little corpsicles out there. No, it seems like a very bad idea to me. It's funny because I know in Mass Effect 2, you actually can go down to the part of the ship where they have compacted garbage cubes of some kind, and you can straight up yeet them into space. It's like,
just,
what?
Like,
why
as a fun
this?
Little mini game? Or
yes, it's just, you're just throwing out the trash. It's very bizarre, and I don't understand it. It's, again, it's for the same reason. It's kind of like, should this not be recycled, maybe? Or you would think we'd have more efficiencies on a ship at this point, especially one of this size, that we shouldn't just throw debris. Like, this is like a cruise ship where you're just dumping into the water. Oh,
yeah.
Anyway.
I really may use this whole body rams into a spaceship and use it. I don't know.
I don't know. It feels like it might explode, but I would consult a scientist on. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll have to. I've got my astronomer.
Yes, ask.
Ask. So I'll contact her and see, because she's the one who made the first scene in Six Wakes so gloriously gory, because she told me what happens to blood in zero G.
Oh.
And so I had a lot of fun rewriting that chapter. But you had crap. What is it? You had a prompt or an exercise. Exercise.
Yes, I did. Hold on. Let me pull that up. So this is based on something that I do called hype storming, which is intended to get people excited about their works in progress, especially when they've been working on it a little while and their interest starts flagging. But I call this love the process, where the first thing that you want to do is list what you love about writing. So what part of the actual process excites you? What keeps you going? What makes you want to write? What kinds of scenes do you like to write? What kinds of characters are your favorites? What tropes do you really love? And then list what you love about your work in progress. What are you most hyped about? What made you really excited to write it? What are you looking forward to finally getting to? And just what parts of it really kind of delight you when you think about them? And the last part is to love your fears and anxieties and sorrows, which, what are you most worried about when you think about writing? What makes you not want to get started? What makes you want to give up? And then pretend that all of those feelings are very small, sad toddlers having a tantrum. And be kind to them. Give them hugs. Give them reassurances. These are the tantrums that are caused by tired and hungry and confused and lonely and worried. And so, you know, be kind to those fears and assuage them and tell them it's all going to be okay, because it will. It will all be okay.
Awesome. That's excellent. Valerie, talking to you always cheers me up. Thank you for making my day 11 stream not absolutely dire and horrible.
I am glad I'm here to help.
So tell us where we can find you online, because your awesome books are out there as well.
Yes, you can find me at ValerieValdez.com. I am at Valerie Valdez on Twitter. And my books that are currently out right now, you can find Chilling Effect and Prime Deceptions, both found family space operas, lots of adventures and shenanigans and jokes. You can find them at all fine retailers.
Excellent. And I am Merlafferty. You can find my books at Merverse.com, also in retailers, and the story I was talking about that I don't like the cover, but everybody else does, so it's gorgeous. It did its job. It's called Six Wakes, and I did two IP things since then, the solo novelization and one of the Minecraft middle grade books, but I don't promote those as much because they're somebody else's IP, but I'm proud of it. But anyway, I will try to come back tomorrow. I don't want to impinge on Valerie's time too much, but she hopefully will come back later this month a couple of times to bring the municipal liaison's point of view to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Thank you, Valerie.
No, thank you for having me.